You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06, and it is Monday morning, and it is November. Yeah, it's November, November 3rd, 2025. But even now, in November, it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on the podcast, on the app, however you got here, we appreciate you getting the work week started. I got a question for you. Actually, it's a question more for Parker Olson, esteemed producer down in Madison Studio A2, but it really is for everybody in Wisconsin. In recent memory, is this the most restless time to be a football fan in Wisconsin? I mean, the Packers just still look like they can't get it on track. The Badgers are, frankly, an embarrassment right now. There's just no other way to put it. And to just rub salt in the wound. Hey, Parker, how'd Whitewater do over the weekend?
Pat, I don't want to talk about how Whitewater got their doors absolutely blown off.
Oh, dear.
That's a me thing, though. That's not a statewide issue.
Parker's a very dedicated Whitewater fan, and they did not have the best weekend ever.
No, we lost. Oh. I believe the score was 52-14.
Ouch.
And didn't feel that close.
No. And those are all folks who are likely Packer fans as well. And yesterday's game was just a stinkeroo. I mean, at first I thought the Packers were just kind of, you know, feeling out the Panthers, you know, getting the know thing. And then they were going to, you know, go in. One of the guys at halftime on the TV said, yeah, it's like they're playing with their food, you know, just go in for the kill. No, they were not ready to do that at all.
It's funny. Somebody texted me yesterday after the game and like, I cannot figure out what this Packers team is. I cannot get a read on what they are.
But the whole thing is that they don't seem to know who they are.
Exactly. I said to him, like, no, I can tell you exactly who they are. Just give me three drives into the game, then I can tell you how it's going to go. Because that's just kind of how it is. They either show up or they play like that.
And then they had what in my mind had been kind of a secret weapon for a time, because people hadn't really caught on to just how good Tucker Kraft is at the tight end.
Yeah.
And now he's gone down with a bad knee injury. We don't know how bad, but I think for our intents and purposes, we should assume end of the season bad.
Yeah.
Until we know more. But Luke Musgrave, who, by the way, I remember the name, but I could not have told you at gunpoint the name of our other tight end until yesterday. And he was actually the one drafted ahead of Tucker Kraft and was he had an injury.
Yeah.
But he did not have a bad second half. So what I'm trying to say is it's not an easy morning to be a football fan in Wisconsin, but you know, not all is lost.
No, I think Musgrave is the guy that we were actually more excited about. Until he did get hurt and Kraft just turned out to be incredible. The Packers tight end room is actually pretty deep. I think that can't think of his first name. But Fitzpatrick is pretty solid too. He's fine. And I know that on the practice squad they've got can't think of his first name either. Sims is on the practice squad too. So there's depth there. But you're right.
Jordan Love's got to make better decisions. I mean, when he heaved that one into the end zone, and I mean there was nobody there except that one Carolina Panther.
Okay. I have less issue with that play actually on Love than I think other people do. If you look at the wider shot, Dobbs just kind of stood still.
Oh, okay.
Like Love threw the ball and Dobbs just went, well, that can't be for me. It's like, dude,
it's really never a healthy attitude on the football field, is it? No. Hey, along the way, if you'd like to give your own input on the Packer game or anything else that you did over the weekend, how did Halloween go? We are 1 year out from the election. Tomorrow's the 1 year anniversary. Anything that's on your mind, you can reach us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can use the Civic Media app to call or text or send us a voice note. And that's easy enough. You want to just get your frustrations out on the Packers? Because here's the thing, we're not gonna turn into sports talk radio where, you know, we get 14 callers and each one wants to talk about how the left guard should be swapped out with the left tackle because of the way they tie their shoes or what. It's what makes sports talk radio unlistenable, honestly. But if you just want a general overview of things, you want to share that frustration, then use the app, leave us a voice note, and or put something in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. Alicia did on YouTube. She's thinking about other things. She's like, don't even get me started on Army beating Air Force and Navy losing their first game of the season. Oh, and Kimberly lost to Sussex Hamilton in the level 2 football playoffs over the weekend. So you see, everybody's got their frustrations.
Sussex Hamilton. Every time I hear about Sussex Hamilton, I think about when I played them at tennis in high school. Mm-hmm. It was I don't know exactly what the temperature was. I'm pretty sure that we shouldn't have been playing because that's how it works in the spring sports season. But
yes,
I was told that their coach had to bribe them with taking them to Starbucks in order to actually play us.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be the first coach that is engaged in bribery. Tony asks from YouTube, from up in Ashland, the Panthers and the Browns, why can't we beat the bad teams? And that's true. That's the thing that frustrated me sometimes about the Brewers as well, is they'd go into some of these places with the bad teams and they'd lose unnecessarily.
Yeah.
However, the World Series did finish, you know, over the weekend, and it finished, I got to say, spectacularly.
It was real and it was spectacular.
Good callback.
Thank you.
Let's see. I don't get a lot of Seinfeld references, but I'm with you on that one. Anyway, the Toronto Blue Jays were what, 4 outs or 5 outs away from a World Series title.
Yeah.
We were watching and thinking, okay, well, good for them. This is coming along great. Dalton Varsho, the Marshfield kid, you know, was getting set to be a champion. And then the wheels kind of fell off the bus in the ninth inning. They went to extras and the Dodgers win in 11 innings. And I am very much of two minds to this, because obviously it's easy to hate the Dodgers and their big fat payroll. They are talented players. You know, that's what happens when you have a half a billion dollar payroll. You'd better have some of the best players, and they do. And they did not just roll over when things were looking bad in the ninth inning. They just kept battling back. And so that's done. And now I've got to go another, and yes, I've counted, 143 days until the opening game of the 2026 baseball season.
Oh, no, Pat, what'll you do?
Well, what I'll do is I'll make that number smaller by counting down the days till spring training. But at the moment, I'm counting down the days till the regular season.
And actually, you can make it even smaller of a number if you look to the day that the pitchers and catchers report. So,
absolutely. Roger puts on Facebook from Stevens Point, with the Packers and Lions losing, the Bears and Vikings winning, the division has tightened up. It is anybody's division. Here comes that word again, parity. That's a word, you know, parity sometimes can turn into parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y. It's just, I mean, when everybody is all mediocre together, that's parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y. And that's what we've got right now, is there's no great, great team out there right now. And that works both ways. There's not this dominant steamroller that you dread when they come to town. I mean, what's the other cliche about football? Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
At this point, any given Sunday, Jordan Love could have a great game. The Packers could do really well. They had all this potential in the first half. It looked like they were going to start firing all cylinders, and then they just could not close out any drives. And that's what we're doing here. Tony's going beyond sports. He wants to know how many days until spring elections, which is not that many days after that. So it's somewhere in the 145 to 150 range. So it's coming up. As far as the division, Tony says, with our inability to beat bad teams, I worry about the Bears. And Alicia responds to Roger, oof, Ouch, Roger. Yeah, it's a tight division, but it just means every game is going to matter, especially next week when we are playing the Philadelphia Eagles at Lambeau Field. And by the way, you can do whatever you want on Sunday because the Packer game is a Monday night game next week.
So it's going to be a tough Tuesday.
No, it's not for me, because here's I'm gonna promise you this from the get-go. After that game yesterday, I am not making a superhuman effort to stay awake next Monday. I am just not. It's fair. They are no longer such an exciting team that I feel duty bound to stay up late into the game. You know.
Well, you know, like I said, you can figure out which Packer team you're watching after about three drives of the game. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Roger puts on Facebook the quote from the great Herman Edwards, "That's why you play the game." That's exactly what you do here. Let's see what else is coming up on the program today. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly along. We'll have Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, who will talk about President Trump's snap attack on working families, and Governor Evers declaring a state of emergency because of what Trump and congressional Republicans are doing to struggling families and, frankly, to the economy at large. And so we'll talk more about that, in less than 10 minutes here. And later in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll have a guest talking about the upcoming Wisconsin Senior Expo. That's in Stevens Point later this week. And what that's about is to say, of all the things going out there in the big wide world, when it comes to seniors living in Wisconsin, what are the top issues? What are the things that they want all candidates, Democratic and Republican, to know about in the 2026 campaign? Now, if you can't stick around for all of that, and we don't blame you, but we got a way for you to catch up, and that would be to pod this program. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us that way. And we'd love to have you along if you can't listen to us live in that fashion. All right, let's look at some of the other sports going on. Well, I guess first off, you know, I never mentioned the final score. The Carolina Panthers beat Green Bay 16-13 on a last second field goal. Let's see. The Badger football team was off. Thank goodness. Badger men's basketball, their season opener is tonight against Campbell University, the Fighting Camels. Listen to the pregame starting at 6:30 tonight on several Civic Media stations. The Badger women's hockey team, top-ranked in the country, but they were handed their first loss of the season on Friday by the Minnesota Gophers. But the team came back to beat Minnesota on Saturday, and they will next play. They have about 10 days off before their next match at St. Cloud State. The Badger men's hockey team, ranked 14th in the country, they beat 18th-ranked Minnesota 4-0 on Saturday night and also 5-2 on Friday night. So the Badger men are now 2-0 in Big Ten play. And in their eight games overall, they are undefeated, 6 wins, no losses, 2 ties. And for the Badgers to shut out Minnesota like they did on Saturday, that's the first time the Badgers have shut out the Gophers at the Kohl Center ever. It's the first time the Badger men's hockey team has shut out Minnesota at home in 42 years, since November of 1983 at the Dane County Coliseum. Next, the Badger men travel to Ann Arbor to face number 2, Michigan, for the first conference road series of the year. That'll be Friday and Saturday, both games at 6 p.m., and you can catch those on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger women's volleyball team was swept on Friday night by undefeated Nebraska. They took it out yesterday on Ohio State, winning in straight sets. The volleyball team next plays Wednesday. And the Bucks lost on Saturday to Sacramento 135-133. They visit the Indiana Pacers tonight. We'll talk about the government shutdown and Governor Evers' state of emergency about it here in Wisconsin. First, from the heart of America's up north, thanks for making this the place to spend your Monday morning. Pat Crichton, this is...
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You know, you can stay up to date on everything we do over at Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Love these weekday partnerships from 6 to 9 in the morning. Coming up in our newsletter at Up North News, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. You can learn how a Wisconsin candle company is supporting those who have been impacted by Hurricane Melissa. And also, you'll find a link to my story in there about how two Wisconsin Head Start programs are shutting down this month because of the government shutdown, and other Head Start programs may follow. And the domino effect that's going to have, not just on the kids, but their parents and their jobs, plus their kids who aren't going to get paychecks, all because of a president and congressional Republicans who are looking to inflict maximum pain and protect their increases in health insurance costs. You can read all that in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Tomorrow on the program, it'll be 1 year until the election, and we just got confirmation that congressional candidate Emily Berge in the 3rd Congressional District in western and parts of central Wisconsin will join us tomorrow morning in our 7 a.m. hour for the show there. Next Monday is the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And so next Monday, we're going to replay the interview we did over the summer with Tom Nelson, the Outagamie County executive and former legislator who has a new book out about the Edmund Fitzgerald, with some never-released details about the ship's construction and maintenance, as well as stories about the symbolism that its sinking had with the economic management of the 1970s. Tom Nelson's book is, I can just highly recommend that to you. And again, we'll play back that interview with Tom Nelson next Monday on the 50th anniversary of what became the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. All right, so we have a state of emergency in Wisconsin because Governor Tony Evers has recognized that the federal government's decision, well, the Trump administration's decision, to most likely illegally hold back on SNAP benefits is going to hurt a whole lot of people. And as a result, state agencies need to be prepared to do what they can. And frankly, legislators should as well, but it's pretty doubtful that Republican legislators are going to come in and do anything about this. And so Selena Heller has a story out on our website about some of the people who are impacted. I mean, truly, truly impacted by what is happening here. And so the governor's order directs state agencies to take any and all necessary and appropriate measures to address the food share stoppage and suspend any administrative rules if they would prevent, hinder, or delay necessary actions to respond to the emergency. It also directs the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to enforce prohibitions against price gouging. Now, if you missed it late last week, not one, but two different U.S. District Court judges pointed out that there's no need for the Trump administration to have working families struggling to afford basic groceries. There are billions and billions of dollars in contingency funds that are set aside for this purpose. There was even language on the USDA website that referenced it to say that, you know, don't worry, if there's a government shutdown, we can deal with this. But the Trump administration, of course, does not want to deal with it. They are looking, again, not to serve American families, not to do anything financially responsible, because a shutdown is as reckless as it can get. And you're getting rid of SNAP benefits, which, again, contribute to local grocery stores and the local economy. They don't want to govern. They want to win. That's it. They want to win a political fight rather than actually engage in, you know, the public service that makes politics what it is when it's at its best, when good people decide to work for the people and allocate resources effectively and efficiently, and not just give it to, you know, their rich buddies like they're out of something from the Great Gatsby. Oh, wait, that's exactly what the Trump administration is, because a Great Gatsby theme is what they had at the White House over the weekend in a big glittery ballroom while they're building another big glittery ballroom while families are getting their food aid cut off. The symbolism is crazy. And I believe the polling is indicating that more Americans who initially thought, well, maybe this guy is actually looking out for me, are going, maybe he's not. At the state level, lawmakers remain at odds over how to reopen two housing facilities for homeless veterans. That's the beginning of a story from Laura Schulte in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've talked about this before. There are a couple of different programs around the state that help veterans who have served our country but have fallen on hard times. And the governor put in his budget bill $1.9 million to continue these programs for homeless veterans. And Republicans took it out and are still, again, much like the shutdown, hoping that you will somehow magically believe it is Democrats who did this when they turned the line to zero. So Republicans have now introduced a new bill that would reimburse other organizations who offer services to homeless veterans by up to $25 a day per veteran. $25 a day per veteran for non-government groups to take care of veterans. That's not going to get it done. I mean, that is window dressing at best. And yet, once again, there's nothing but criticism of, well, the governor should be moving some money from other funds. That's exactly what they yell at the governor for when he did it with pandemic relief aid. Now they want him to do it with the Veterans Trust Fund, but that takes an act of the legislature. So if it takes an act of the legislature, why not just come in and help the homeless veterans that you either intentionally or accidentally zeroed out in the budget? In both cases, in Madison and Washington, D.C., why don't y'all just go back to the Capitol and, here's a crazy idea, do your jobs. Today's history lesson is coming up next, starting with a little tune from The Killer. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
There's a little bit from The Killer. Jerry Lee Lewis released Great Balls of Fire this day in 1957. It would get to number two on the Billboard pop chart. The single sold a million copies in its first 10 days of release. Last week marked 3 years since we lost The Killer, who passed away at the age of 87. Welcome to today's history lesson, and welcome to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who joins us on another morning where she walked too much but had a great time doing it. Well, until the final score of the Packer game, but you were there. You were among friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just pick up tickets at the last minute and you say, so what for my yard work plans today? I'm going to go to the game.
Better things to do than yard work.
We moved a few leaves for a while, but eventually the wind won, and it's like, well,
was it worth it? Did you see the beach ball on the field yesterday? That was fun.
No. Did you do that?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. Just making
sure. It was cute, though. One of the Panthers had to go chase it down. It was like one of those little moments where you felt happy.
Yes. Well,
moments yesterday.
We certainly needed a little bit of that, didn't we? Oh, man. All right. Back to today's history lesson. Birthday yesterday for singer Maxine Nightingale, who turned 73 years old and had this hit back in 1976.
I love Maxine Nightingale. I don't know why, but I just do.
She had this in 76. She had the tune Lead Me On in 1979 and others. And again, Maxine Nightingale, 73. David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends, is 59 years old today. Which, how old were they when they were trying to portray 20-somethings, you know, on Friends? Isn't that the way it always is on TV? You know, those people who look like high schoolers are actually like 30.
I just don't want to do the math, and I just don't think we ought to. It's too early for that, and it makes me feel sad.
There
you
go. I'm good with that. That's fine. let's see. Roseanne Barr is 73 today. Dennis Miller is 72 today. The Scottish singer Lulu is 77 today and had this signature hit from the late 1960s.
Would soar a thousand feet high.
You know, for all the attention about, you know, Hollywood is too woke and TV and movies are too woke, I'd almost argue the opposite, that we're not seeing enough like To Sir With Love and some of the other movies that really just took aim at racism and just knocked it on its keister. And I feel like we need to be more blatant about that.
I don't know, Pat. I was having this conversation with my kids the other day, and they're telling me about all these things that are out there that I just wasn't aware of. Maybe Parker knows.
No, Parker gets up too early for that.
I don't know. Yeah. What were they telling you?
What we need is, I've learned to appreciate that one of the things about this show is the way that we kind of bridge divisions. A lot of times by needling each other, but we kind of help each other bridge divisions. And I thought about that last night when I finally watched the documentary from Ben Stiller about his parents, Stiller and Mira. I loved Stiller and Mira. And there's now all these generations that will never get to see or appreciate it. But similarly, like you just said, there's definitely things I'm missing in today's culture. So I'm glad you're telling me that the kids say the kids are all right.
Oh, it's funny. We were watching that over the weekend and my kids were like, who's that guy? And I said, it's Zoolander. And they were like, what is this? And I said, his parents were super famous. They were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Totally unimpressed.
Yeah. 36 appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show and always funny. They were just great. Great documentary. Mm-hmm. Former Governor Scott Walker is 58 years old today. Former presidential candidate Michael Dukakis is 92 years old today.
I love that you mentioned Michael Dukakis was a presidential candidate, but not Scott Walker. That was funny.
Well, well, to be fair, I also didn't mention Michael Dukakis was a former governor of Massachusetts. And famously portrayed by John Lovitz when he was running against George H.W. Bush back in 1988. Lovitz playing Dukakis in a debate sketch and going, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. And it's been a line of mine ever since. Let's see. In some happier news, on this day in 2020, Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump. Yay. Oh, if only that could have stuck. Anyway.
I forgot that there was good news in 2020.
there was that. There was the one good day in 2020. So on this day in 1985, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder. Now, Part-Time Lover was his eighth number one song and his most recent one, dating back to his first chart topper in 1962. And in fact, another one of those number one hits came 52 years ago today when he did what the kids today would call a diss track about President Richard Nixon. Back in 1974, the number one song was a Stevie Wonder song, You Haven't Done Nothing. And again, I would recommend it to folks. That's one of those songs we might need to polish up for the present day and age.
Yeah, and change the language a little. Like, you ain't done nothing. That sound more appropriate.
There you go.
That could work.
I like that.
Let's see. Billy Ocean had the number one song this day in 1984.
Is it right. Sherry's theme song?
Caribbean Queen?
Uh-huh.
Could have been for a
it
time.
It could have been.
That's right.
On this day in 1979, the number one album was by the Eagles. Their sixth album, The Long Run, where it stayed in the number one spot for all the rest of 1979, nine more weeks. The number one single this week in 1979 was Pop Music by M. Let's see.
You're not going to play Pop Music by M?
I'm not.
Talk about... Pop music. I'll just sing it.
Yeah, see, that's better.
Oh, boy.
Honestly, sounds better than the original.
Shoo-bop.
Bop, bop, shoo-bop. Yes, exactly. See, we already did a better job than them. Let's see. Also, the number one album this week in 1985, so 40 years ago today, was the Miami Vice TV soundtrack. I know you thought I was going to play In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, which is like the signature song for Miami Vice, but you can't forget Glenn Frey's Smuggler's Blues.
And all of his guest appearances on Miami Vice. How Miami Vice completely infiltrated our culture. Like, my prom date wore a Miami Vice tux. It was pink.
Oh, I told you about Miami Vice tux were an option for our wedding. There was a whole line of Miami, and each groomsman could be in a different, very bright pastel color. And for some reason, we took a pass on that. But others, like,
because live in Wisconsin?
Yes, that could have been the reason for it. We would have been chased out of Manitowoc County had we done something like that. I had to go back and watch the video for Smuggler's Blues. It was kind of a little controversial for its time, because in the end, the Glenn Frey character, I know, spoiler alert, is, you know, he's like this smuggler and you know, cheats some people. And at the end, he gets offed, you know, in typical Miami Vice fashion.
Justice. And
yeah, exactly. Let's see. We had some birthdays yesterday over the weekend. Nelly turned 51. The late J.D. Souther was born this day 80 years ago. He passed away a year and a half ago at the age of 2 years. No, I'm sorry. 1 year ago at the age of 78. Math is hard on Mondays. Katie Lang is 64 years old today. All right. In 2020, Kristen, Parker, we found another good day from 2020.
Okay.
There were three good days. Okay. There was Biden winning the election. There was the beginning of Up North News on January 1st of 2020. Mm-hmm. And then on this day in 2020, thanks to a swell of views from children home during the pandemic, there was a song that overtook another song. Despacito had been the most viewed video in YouTube history. But do you know what became the most viewed music video in YouTube history on this day in 2020, Kristen?
No.
Oh, Parker, play it.
Baby Shark.
Okay. Enough. 7 billion views at the time is what gave it the record over Despacito for the most viewed YouTube in history. And guess what?
Wow.
Now, 5 years later, Despacito is still number two on the list with nearly 9 billion views on YouTube. Do you know what's number one now?
No.
It's a trick question. Play it, Parker.
I don't wanna.
It's still Baby Shark.
Every parent listening right now is like flinching. Like,
I know. Baby Shark is now at 16 billion views on YouTube, followed by three more nursery rhyme songs. And then at number six on the list is Wiz Khalifa's See You Again with nearly 7 billion views.
I
really tells you something that See You Again and Despacito are still up there in the top 10. And they just can't catch Baby Shark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of babies, I guess. You know,
Tony writes on YouTube, I have three kids around me and you play that. How dare
see?
You? And Alicia, now that's stuck in my head for the day. Thanks, Pat. You're welcome.
Yeah.
One of my many, many.
Alicia's going to be driving and thinking to herself, it's just going to like creep in like an earworm. And she's going to be like, Kreitlow.
Curse you, Kreitlow.
I might have to drop that in the show once or twice more just to reinforce it. You know, if you're what good's an earworm if you can't reinforce it? Let's see. Where are we on the national day calendar for today, Parker?
It is Polar Bear Week.
Polar Bear Week.
Polar Bear Week. They're very important, so they get a whole week, Mr. Kreitlow.
Okay. You know what? If it helps, again, draw attention to the dangers of a changing climate, I'm all for it. If it is instead just a shameless way to plug the Coca-Cola Christmas commercials with the polar bear, well, that's another matter. But I think it's the former.
I did see a polar bear on a floating iceberg on Lake Mendota, I believe. It might have been Monona paddling on Halloween.
That would have been a Halloween thing, yes.
Okay, that makes more sense.
A polar bear costume while you're paddling out in the water that is not warm. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that costume would weigh down a lot if you fell off or went overboard. I'd be really careful there.
It's a method acting.
Captain Safety. It was a funny video on YouTube.
How was your Halloween, by the way?
Good. We had so many trick-or-treaters. It was so much fun. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. What else do we have on the National Day calendar here?
It is National Cliche Day.
You don't say.
I say. Yes.
Oh, okay.
There you go. It is also Give Someone a Dollar Day. So, Pat.
Can't really hand it through the tubes here that make
that's
up
okay. You're coming down soon anyway.
I'll owe you at some point.
Yeah.
I was asking that question today about the, you know, the penny shortage and all these retailers are no longer giving away pennies and rounding things up or down as need be. And yet we still, again, unlike every other organized democracy in the world, we can't figure out how to make the dollar coin stick, or the $2 coin, the loonie, like they have up in Canada. These things that make money more convenient. And we're still sitting here sweating pennies as to whether, you know.
We have a hard time with change, Pat.
We do have a hard time with change. Tony puts up on YouTube, I have Venmo. I'll be awaiting my dollar.
Thanks for getting it, Parker.
I got it.
I think during the break, we should all Venmo Tony a dollar just to surprise him.
I think Kristen owes us a dollar after that one.
I can see that. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Up North News reporter Selena Heller about the cutoff of SNAP benefits as part of the government shutdown and how it's amazingly unnecessary and hurtful and is going to have an impact all across Wisconsin. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Up North News reporter Selena Heller and Whiskers. And Dr. Kristen Weyerl is here, Parker Olson producing things. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. Selena, how was your Halloween?
Oh, very good. There were lots of costume changes.
Lots of costume changes, including Whiskers.
What? Whiskers has a wig, too, with two braids. He's Wednesday.
Oh, Whiskers has a wig.
Yeah.
Whiskers has worn thousands of costumes over the years. For as much as I pick on Whiskers for always getting in the camera shot, that cat has been so crazy patient having a little kid around, dressing it up, carrying it everywhere. Yeah.
Yep. He goes and since he was little, he went in strollers and cars. Yep.
Yes. let's see. And then Kristen, you had as Alicia puts on YouTube, one of the best fire departments in the state came by the neighborhood.
So good. So one of my son's friends who's been trick or treating at our house since he was a little kid is now a grown up firefighter. Uh-huh. So he texted and said, I'll be there in 5 minutes with the truck. And sure enough, right down the road came a big fire truck with its lights on and the horn, and the kids just went wild. It was wonderful.
That is so cool. Before I forget, Kristen, and Tony reminds me, how was Kristen's interview with the wild card?
Francesca Hong. It was so good. She is just such a delight and such an interesting interview. I really want to encourage everybody to listen to it, because I think the ideas she has and the support she has for the people and where she comes from, she may be the wild card candidate for governor, but she has some really important, very compelling things to say.
Fran Hong always does. And frankly, yes, embraces that whole wild card label. And so how can folks hear it, Kristen?
Oh, yeah. Well, wherever you get your podcasts, and on civicmedia.us and on both of our YouTube channels, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Civic Media.
Ooh, two YouTube channels now.
You can't avoid it. But the easiest places, just like plug into wherever you get your podcasts, just like your show, Pat.
Yeah, go to Spotify, Apple, wherever you go. Parker, do you still like help out on a sports podcast or something?
Yeah, we have Make the Call. It airs at 7 a.m. on Saturday mornings on Civic Media Radio Network.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. Okay.
Yes, and you can find us basically.
I needed to confirm that just so we could all rub it into Selena. One of these things is not like the others. You know, Selena, we got to get you a podcast.
I did not anticipate where that was going.
He was like, oh, God. That
could be the motto. Selena's stories. You never quite know where it's going. So, you know, you could tell us more about that. Yeah. We're going to hear more after the 7 o'clock news about the folks that she's talked to about the government shutdown and the cutoff of SNAP benefits and what people in Western Wisconsin have had to say about the struggles that some politicians are making them endure right now. But first, let's do a little entertainment news and see what Parker has scoured the news wires. He's been hunched over the United Press International ticker machine, getting all the latest from Tinseltown. Parker, what do you got?
Kim Kardashian, Pat. She thinks that we faked the moon landing. And she says, go to TikTok and see for yourself.
Go to TikTok and see for yourself. To which she had to be corrected. She had to be chided. By who?
By Sean Duffy.
By Sean Duffy.
Which is wild person to get corrected by.
Which is wild enough to say he's the administrator of NASA. And Colin Jost told some kind of a joke about it on Weekend Update over the weekend as well. That we're now in a world where one reality TV star is talking about faking the moon landing and has to be corrected by another reality TV star who's running NASA.
Who could have saw this coming?
Nobody. Nobody. And yet, here we are. And I guess that wasn't the only question that she asked on Twitter or claim she made about space. She asked a question about some kind of, I don't know, satellite or photo or something. And again, Sean Duffy and others addressed her question, but there have been like members of Congress who have asked questions of Sean Duffy at NASA, and they can't get their questions answered. He's claiming because of the government shutdown, but he's got time to twiddle his thumbs on Twitter and respond to Kim Kardashian.
Twiddle his thumbs on Twitter. Oh, yes, man.
Although, I mean, we see the same thing with Pete Hegseth, right? He's very active on Twitter.
Well, but from the president on down. Yes, exactly.
So, all right. I was in California once, and we went to the I was so excited to go to Jay Leno, the Tonight Show, a taping of it.
Oh, you're the first.
And then you don't know what?
Nothing. Jay Leno joke. Go ahead.
Well, it was before. And I was so excited, but you don't know the guests until you get there. And it was a Kardashian, and I was so disappointed. I was so bummed. It was Khloe Kardashian, I think. I was like, oh my gosh, no. Oh,
so sorry. So, all right. One more. That's something that should be canceled. But instead, Parker, something else is going away.
Something that I kind of imagine is near and dear to you, Pat, knowing that you kind of need some brain rot in your TV rotation.
Yep.
Ridiculousness is being canceled.
Is being canceled.
900 episodes.
How many episodes?
Over 900.
Over 900 episodes.
14 years.
Of inappropriate. It's the inappropriate version of America's Funniest Home Videos. But it's funny. It was that was my binge watch all throughout 2020 during the pandemic when we were just in, and that was just running on a loop because something had to lighten the load, and somebody I can't find.
He's trying desperately to find something that he can say on the radio about this.
Yeah, I really can't. And it's you just have to watch it for yourself. But it doesn't go as far as like Jackass, you know, which is just cruel and stupid. These are everyday things that happen to people, and they found out not to.
So this is the MTV show, right? You're talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
We're all looking at Pat like, really, yeah. Pat? This is your show?
Yes, this is it.
And
this
he genuinely likes TMZ.
The advice that we gave to our grandsons was: if you're ever doing something and suddenly all of your friends pull out their cell phones to start taking video of you, you should rethink what it is that you're looking to do. Much more coming up after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, girls.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.